Welcome to the Automation Unplugged podcast, the podcast for technology professionals featuring leading industry personalities. I'm your host, Ron Callis. Today's show features John Garrity, president of Courageous Authenticity. John founded his executive coaching firm in 2007 with the goal of offering a more integrated and comprehensive approach, factoring in more than just economic outcomes for his clients. In the past 25 years, John has worked with thousands of individuals, helping them realize their authentic greatness and achieve their goals. Today, John's mission is to awaken and equip leaders to envision, pursue, and celebrate living lives of joy and impact. We live streamed this interview on our One Firefly page on Thursday, March 26th, 2020 at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In this conversation, we discussed John's recommendations on staying connected with your team in a virtual work environment, why right now is the time to dive in and focus on how to keep adding value to your clients and your company, ways to shift your approach and processes to stay transparent and align with the recent stresses caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, what it means to reframe your mindset during these uncertain times with the prism of perspective approach, and John's approach to fitness and the importance of practicing routine as a way to stay grounded and focused. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you do as well. Let's jump into my interview with John Garrity.
Hey, John. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you.
Awesome.
So Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. You and I were just having lunch, a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about podcasting and going live, and then this thing happened. I said, well, man, John's top of mind. I want to bring him on.
What thing happened? I have no idea what you're referencing.
Oh, I love it. I love the, well, we're going to get into that. So what is this thing and how do we deal with it? But just for the audience here, they don't know you. So where are you coming to us from? Let's start there.
Sure. I'm John Garrity. As you said, I'm coming to you from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
And tell us who you are, and what do you do? What's the origin story of John Garrity?
Okay. Sounds great. So today I'm an executive coach and a business coach, primarily working with owners of closely held businesses, helping them to better align their actions with their values so that they consistently create the lives they want. Historically, I come out of really a servicing industry. At the beginning of my career, I was in the fitness industry, really working to help people optimize their health and fitness through exercise and nutrition and things along those lines. And as I was doing that type of work, what I kind of came to believe that there were other areas where people needed some help. And I transitioned into the financial services industry. And as I became a CFP and an accredited estate planner, and I worked with business owners in that area, helping them again to find ways to clearly envision what it was that they wanted to create in their lives, and then how to activate their financial plans and their financial resources to align their align those resources and values with their actions. And what I found there, again, is that it was an incomplete approach, right? That a lot of people were really benefiting by the work that we were doing, but there were other aspects of their lives that they weren't paying as much attention to. And so I had a really strange week-long period of time where I had three clients have big life-changing events that had nothing to do with whether or not they had money, but it had everything to do with whether or not they were living in alignment with their values. And so I was, at the time, I was actually reading a book by Stephen Covey called The Eighth Habit, which is finding your voice and inspiring others to find theirs. And I didn't feel like I was inspiring anyone to find anything. I had three clients. One was getting a divorce after, 25 years of marriage, but his final child was going off to college. And he's like, my wife and I have nothing in common. We don't even talk. So we got to get a divorce. And then a few days later, I reached out to another client who, all of these guys were financially successful. But this guy had just come back. I called him, he answers the phone. He's like, hey, I guess you haven't even heard yet. And I'm like, what? He's like, first of all, I'm fine. But he goes, I am coming back from a heart attack. I had a heart attack a few weeks ago. And a kind of joke I say is he did not have a heart attack because he had bad genes. He had a heart attack because he wore really big jeans.
Right. Okay. There you go.
And then the third situation was a person that we had worked on educational plans and things like that for his kids. I called him and he's driving two children, son and stepson, to check him into drug rehab. And so I realized that, you know, unless we look comprehensively at all the different things we need to do in order to realize our objectives, that there's weak links in our plan. And so I began evolving my financial planning practice into a coaching practice. And so for the past 13 years, basically you and I started our businesses very similarly. I've been working with business owners and executives around the country to help them integrate all the different aspects of their lives so that they can live lives that are really rich, not just financially, not just physically, but in every area.
So and John, I don't know that I've said this to you to your face, sir, but I'll say it publicly. You were one of those rocks for me right when I launched my business.
Yeah,
I engaged you.
Started. I remember the day you talked to me about evolving out of the work that you were doing in the sales position about, hey, I'm really thinking about doing this. I remember the day well.
And I had met you when I was in that sales position.
Yep.
And because you were at an integrator that was a client of yours.
Yep.
And you were evolving and getting your thing going. So it's funny how the world works.
Circles back, baby.
It does. And here we are. So who's a typical client for you, just to kind of set the stage of some of the perspectives that you have and you bring? Like, who are you normally working with day to day?
I work with small, closely held businesses. And small might be anywhere from, you know, 5 employees to 300, 400 employees, right? Mm-hmm. Anywhere from a million to $100 million in that ballpark. And I typically work with the owner and some of the executive team to make sure there's alignment as it relates to, you know, what is the purpose, what's our values, what are our principles, and then really help them to execute on strategies that they have to realize their goals and objectives. And I really do a lot of work around communication and relationship to make sure that people are communicating in effective ways, because that's one of the challenges we have in relationships, period, right? And so I do a lot of that work as well.
How's the lockdown or the social distancing affecting you? Have you typically been doing most of that work remote and over phone and video conference? So it's business as usual?
Not affecting me a lot. I travel to clients like on a quarterly basis. So I don't do a ton of travel. I do most of my work over the phone, or maybe doing kind of something like we're doing here, like a Zoom call, et cetera.
Sure.
So it's not having a huge effect on me, but a lot of my clients are having to shift the way that they do work.
Well, so let's get into that. So obviously, shit is hitting the fan out, the proverbial fan out there.
Yes, it is.
And there's, you know, there's our friendly virus, and then there's the economic situations there's oil. And so what's happened is there's a lot of turbulence. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of unknowns encountering everybody's life, from the entrepreneur or the executive down to their team, down to their families. And even here at One Firefly, we're going to start instituting a bi-weekly town hall just to communicate and share what's going on in the company, what's going on. And like we just discovered, actually, we'll talk about it in the town hall, I want to say Friday. But you know, college loans are now not college. Yeah. College loan payments are going to be forgiven for the next 6 months. And, you know, so I have my HR team trying to find all those pieces of data that my team might find valuable. And that communication is really paramount. But as an aside, the idea that everyone's lives are much more anxious right now, I wanted to bring you on and maybe have you just talk about, you know, how to frame this word of framing, what's happening. You know, everyone's having a tough go at it. Everyone's in different seats, but everyone's having challenges. And I know that you and I have worked in the past on framing and how to think about things. And I wanted to have that conversation with you in this public forum.
That's great. And I think framing or perspective is like one of the most important things we can ever look at, right? Because it's been said that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And so what we have to pay attention to is, are we really looking at things from an opportunistic situation, right? Are we looking at what opportunities still exist, or are we allowing ourselves to get into fear? And Einstein famously said, the most important decision you'll ever make is whether you live in a safe or a dangerous world. And the reason that that's an important decision is because if you look at the world from as if you're living in a dangerous place and you look at the world from fear, then actually the way that your brain begins to work is you begin to, fight or flight or freeze, right? That's what happens, fight, flight, and freeze. And there's a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is back by the limbic region in your brain and kind of the reptilian part of your brain at the brainstem. And it's always scouring the world for danger. But what happens is we see what we're looking for. And so if you're looking at the world and you're waking up every day saying, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. You know, we're never going to recover. This is different than it's ever been before. This is catastrophic. Then you are going to see evidence of that. On the flip side, if you say, this is a challenge, and I've succeeded through tons of challenges in the past, right? I've moved through different challenges in my past, and we reconnect to our power to make that happen. Then we're going to look for opportunities. How do we move forward? And speaking about like working with my clients, what I'm finding that's interesting is many of them are saying, you know, this, we're having to change our rituals, but some businesses are disrupted more than others. But many of them are saying they're shocked that there's actually a lot of efficiencies that are coming from working at home, working in different situations that they didn't have in the past. And even to the degree of communication, because when you have to be more intentional about your communication, you know, if somebody's sitting across the hall from you, you can go talk to them whenever, but that doesn't mean you do.
Right.
If you know it's going to be more challenging, you may structure it and you say, hey, you know what? We got to really catch up on that collaboration we're doing. Let's put it on the calendar. And so what we're finding from a lot of the clients that I'm speaking with is their communication is enhanced, right? And a lot of people are switching from, okay, we're not going to just do a telephone call, but I'm going to do this because right now I can see you and I can see how you're responding. So when we're working in situations like this, you know, engage different media so that you can see how someone's responding. Are they engaged? Do they have a question? Are they following you? Right. And really think about, I want to listen deeply to what that person's saying, not just listen so I can respond, but listen so I really understand. And so I can pay attention to your physiology and your tone and your words and say, okay, here's what I'm hearing, Ron. I'm going to say what I hear. I'm going to paraphrase it and give you an opportunity to say, yeah, John, you're right on, or you're close, but here's what you missed. Right.
So is this your advice for the business owners that now have all of their teams or much of their teams working remote, that, you know, the idea of video conferencing, turn your camera on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if their teams aren't used to doing that and they resist? Does the manager enforce it or maybe explain why explanation?
You don't want to power through anything, right? But we talked about reframing. Right. So let's pretend that I'm speaking with you and I say, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to connect and we want to be able to do it visually. And, you know, you're an introvert and you say, hey, I'm not comfortable on this situation. You know, instead of saying, Ron, well, that's what we're doing and I made a decision. Right. So what I find really helpful, I call it aligned influence. OK. And what aligned influence is, I want to align with you in as much as I can. And then shift at a higher level to find where we align again. So I can acknowledge you and I can validate you. Hey, I can totally appreciate where you're coming from because this is actually different, right? We haven't had to do this in the past. And being on camera in front of your friends, I can understand how it could feel as if you might be judged if you're not a rock star in this particular area, right? Mm-hmm. And while that's true, what else is true is that as an organization, it's going to be vitally important for us to be able to stay connected, to stay emotionally connected, socially connected, and to really be able to interpret one another and what we're saying, just as if we were sitting around a conference table. And so for that reason, I'm going to strongly encourage that everybody have the camera on so that we can read one another and we can connect. And what you'll recognize over time is it will become just like being in the conference room for you. Is that something you're willing to try out, right?
And so, I would think that business owners would get a pretty positive response if they took that well-intentioned approach.
Right. And one of the things that I'll share is it relates to communication because, you know, often I work with business owners who are often drivers, right? And so drivers want to get from point A to point B as fast as possible. And so sometimes when you introduce such a concept, right, it seems like a, why are you meandering? Dude, go straight at it. But when you go straight at it, the reality is you don't get the outcome you want. And so then you have a broken piece that you have to go mend later. And so what we want to recognize is that we're really, the shortest distance between us two points is not necessarily a straight line. It's the path of least resistance. And if we can create alignment and I can get you to lower your fear, right, to get out of the amygdala into the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that's creative and thoughtful, right? If I can help you to shift out of fear, then we are able to engage in a different conversation. And it actually saves way more time than me slamming my idea. Does that make sense to you?
I get it. I dig it. Now tell me more about reframing as it relates to the reality that there's so much uncertainty in the world. Okay. When will our businesses be able to get back to business? How is this going to affect employees? How is this going to affect the future of one's personal and professional life? And I know that you have a perspective around a prism, yeah. And there are different components of that. And
it's a really interesting approach. We don't want to be overly optimistic. We don't want to be unrealistically optimistic. And mm-hmm. We don't want to state that we know something we don't know. I think there's a Winston Churchill quote that I'm going to blow here. But essentially, yeah, it says right. The worst leadership you can do is to make promises that are quickly swept away.
Yes.
So if we say to your employees, hey, you know what, we're going to work from home for the next 2 weeks, and then everything's going to be back to normal. If those 2 weeks go by and things aren't back to normal, you lose credibility, right? And instead of diminishing their fear, you begin to increase their fear because right. You've made promises that didn't come true. You and I think I've had a conversation in the past as it relates to Good to Great, right? With James Stockdale.
Yep. That's funny. I have the...
You got the book? One of my favorites. You can see it right behind me, right?
That's right. Awesome. Love it.
So anyone who's never read that book, Jim Collins is an outstanding author. He's done a tremendous amount of research. This was a research program written by Jim and his graduate students at Stanford. And what they were looking at is how do businesses differentiate themselves from just being good to becoming great? And there's different principles inside there. One of those principles, what they call the Stockdale paradox, or I think they may call it face the brutal facts, but it's
that was the guy that was like the high level officer, right?
Right. Right. He was an admiral, Jim Stockdale, and he was imprisoned in POW camp in Vietnam, the Hanoi Hilton, right? And he was the highest ranking officer there. And what he was known for is being really strong, even though he had been tortured, you know, being emotionally strong and succeeding and coming out of this torturous time. And so when he came out, you know, he's interviewed and people were like, well, tell us what it was that enabled you and some others to succeed in these or to continue to prosper through this period of time and to come out strong. And one of the things he said is that he says, you have to face the brutal facts, but never lose faith that you will ultimately prevail. And he actually referenced the optimist, right? The guy that thought I was going to get out in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from now, everything's back to normal. And those 2 weeks would go by and they'd do another 2 weeks. And what would happen is they lose faith and lose faith and lose energy and they quickly died. The other people that didn't make it at all, or as you might imagine, are the cynics, right? So we don't mm-hmm. want to be the overly optimistic person nor the cynic. We want to be the person that says, hey, you know what? Right now we're in an environment that we've never really seen before. Mm-hmm. But we're going to learn, right, that we've shifted as a society often and learned how to continue to prosper and add value. That's what we do professionally, right? We learn how to add value. That's what we get paid for. Mm-hmm. Now, we may have to shift the medium through which we do that, the way we engage, how we engage, but we're absolutely going to learn that. And so what we want to do is say, okay, there's things that are different, but we can absolutely learn this. And we will ultimately prevail in the end. The other thing that I think is important to think about is not only will we prevail in the end, But as long as we bring our best and add value at this time, this May ultimately will look back on it and say, most productive time ever, because we were willing to stay engaged and to add value, right? When other people were running away. And so when other people run away and we dive in and we continue to think about, how do I add value to my client? How do I add value to the world, right? That's when we begin to differentiate ourselves. And so under this turbulent time, you got to recognize that this is actually an incredible opportunity to—
It's an opportunity to lead.
It's an opportunity to lead. And it's a time when we need that leadership, right? So really important. So one of the things that you mentioned, the prism of perspective, and I'll do my best to describe this to you. And then I'll send to you a graphic that you can send out to your—
I'll add it to the comments on the Facebook Live page.
But anyway, if you guys will allow me, right? Everybody understands how a prism works, right? So you have white light that comes into a prism and then it's refracted. And what happens is the white light is refracted and it's separated into its component parts, right? And you might see, you know, red, orange, yellow, right? The colors of that we were aware of, right? And so what I want you to do is recognize life is just like that prism. And life comes at you with all of the different possibilities inside it. And so depending on how we have our life refracted, based on filters we put in, we might experience life as a victim with a very low level of energy, feeling like the world is just happening to us. We might be a little more positive than that and be a fighter, like, this is a dangerous world, but I'm going to fight my way out of it. But again, remember what Einstein said, dangerous world, not where you want to be. We could move up to the point where we're not feeling it's dangerous, but we're feeling it's limited. And so we're in a situation where we may negotiate or manipulate because we think, I got to get mine because there's not enough for you. So if you think about negotiating in a situation where you're really not thinking about the win-win for the client, you're just thinking, I'm going to get as much as I can get for myself. You know, you might win that particular action, but you're not going to win that client. You're not going to win that relationship.
Sure.
On the flip side, you might say, there's not enough for everyone. So I'm going to give to Ron and I'm going to lose in this situation. Right. So you could be a contributor, right, but not really think about the way you can win. But what we want to do really is move upstream to a place where we're abundant and we're safe. And that's really collaboration, partnership, and co-creation. So if you think about the rainbow, those are the rainbow colors, working from victim to fighter to negotiator to contributor to collaborator, partner, and co-creator. And the way we shape that is really three filters, just like the prism. The first one is, what do we expect to happen? And you set your expectations based on what do you believe to be true, right? This is your belief system. So if your belief system, if you're running around a belief system like this is the end of the world, then the stuff you're going to begin to filter and look for evidence that you're right. This is the end of the world.
More people died today than died yesterday. Right. It's the end of the world.
Next, right? So we have that situation. If we, that side of the prism, the other thing that really makes a big difference is the way we manage our physiology. That's kind of the base of it. And let me talk about that for a second. So there's two
health.
You got that?
Yeah, health, right? Your physiology. Right.
Sorry about that. Physiology is really—
using those fancy physical words.
Your physical vitality, right? How much energy you have to put forth. And there's two different things you want to look at there. One is, how do you manage your health on an ongoing basis as it relates to the rest you get, the exercise you get, the nutrition you get, how many toxins you allow into your body. And based on that, it's going to begin to shift what's possible for you, right? So we're all aware that someone has poor ongoing health really can't engage in the world in the same level that someone's managing their health, right? They might be capable at a certain level, but they're not hitting their optimal potential because they don't have the physical strength to do it. The other part is that in every single moment, you have an opportunity to shift the way your physiology shows up. And what I mean by that is, imagine if I were to describe to you, let's go back to that victim, right? What does the victim look like physically when he walks into your room? Describe him to me.
I would say that person is defeated. Maybe they're looking at the ground. Maybe they're hesitant to give eye contact. Maybe their shoulders are slumped.
Right.
Maybe they drag their feet. Yeah, exactly. There you go. That looks like a victim. Good job.
So I'm like, oh my God, this is just horrible. So what happens? You ever hear, I mean, most of us are aware of the like mind-body connection, right? We often think the mind to the body, but it also goes body to the mind. And so when I'm in that literally get into, if you're listening, paying attention to this, drop yourself into that kind of victim state and really feel what it feels like. What's actually happening is you're sending a message to your brain that you're at risk. And when you're at risk, what happens is we're now in stress, and we're in stress. The chemicals that are released in your body are cortisol, adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, right? They're designed for short-term bursts of energy. But if we're doing it in a chronic way, it's actually really bad for our health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not expecting to win. We're not envisioning the future. We don't bring power to our day. We don't wake up in the morning and say, here's what I'm going to achieve today, and I'm going to bring my power to it, right? We're kind of, on the flip side, if you manage your physiology, right? Just think of the difference between this and this. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're in this powerful state, literally the different chemicals that are being released are dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin.
Those are the good drugs.
All the good ones. They literally like.
I want those good drugs.
They're endogenous. It's like literally endogenous heroin, speed, marijuana, and cocaine. Like literally the triggers in your brain. But what's great about it is it gives you the perfect trigger. So you get all the positivity out of it without the negativity. You don't get any, it's no detriment to your health, but it gives you like a bit of the bump that you're looking for, right? So the chemicals are really changed there. And so if we pay attention to what we believe and how we manage our physiology, we have this last situation of how do I frame this, right? Because it's possible like right now for something to happen, right? The economy is not doing spectacular right now. We're in different levels of quarantine, depending on where we live. So now we have to frame it, right? We could look at it and go, oh my God, this is horrible. And this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Or we can look at it and say, how else can I look at this? There's a guy named Mark Goulston. He's a psychiatrist and a hostage negotiator, wrote a book called Just Listen. And he talks about how we engage in this way. And he has a little 5-step process that he basically says, you know, everybody in the world can get from oh fuck to okay in a couple of weeks. Right?
Don't worry, you're allowed to curse on this show. There's no rule.
I should have got clearance, right? Anyway, hope I didn't offend anybody. But actually, he says, oh, and he has all these little, I think he meant oh fuck, but he didn't really say it. So anyway, when you think about it, it's like oh fuck to okay in a couple of weeks, right? So that means like you're going to spend a couple of weeks being unproductive. But what really happens during those 2-week period of time is you go from the amygdala, that part of fear, up to the prefrontal cortex. That's all that's happening. And so since we know that journey, why does it have to take 2 weeks? How can I shortcut it? And so his process that he teaches is these 5 steps. And it goes basically that first one, like, oh, fuck, or whatever your exclamation is. And then it goes to, oh, God, right? And I like to use the serenity prayer there. Oh, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And so once you get there, you're like, okay, I'm starting to feel a little better. The next one is just an OGs. And he goes, you use OGs because how upsetting can OGs actually be? Right? Like how bad can you're like, oh, geez, right? But you're still real. It's not what I wanted to have happen. Oh, geez.
I think I texted Taylor on my staff, oh, geez, a few times today. Maybe a few times over the last couple of days. Oh, geez.
Oh, geez, right. So you look at OGs and then from there you just go, oh, well. And oh, well is an acceptance, right? Like one of the things that is a real challenge is if we don't accept reality, right? Oh, well is acceptance of reality. Oh, well, this is what's true. And then the next step is, okay, I'm ready to engage, right? So I went from oh, fuck to okay. I can wait 2 weeks or I can intentionally move in that way. And think about it. Oh, fuck is victim. Okay is moving your way up into I'm here. I believe I have the potential to succeed. I'm not a victim. I'm going to move forward, right? I have a client, a friend of mine, Jeff Miller, and I was sharing this with him at one time. And he shared, he goes, isn't there a 6th one? And I go, what's that? And he goes, oh, yeah. So what we're doing is we're moving our way so that we can be fully engaged, right? And so if you think about that, again, if you think about the prism, pay attention to the beliefs that you're holding because you're going to create the reality that you're looking for. We find what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anyone say that was a self-fulfilling prophecy? Everything is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we want to think about, okay, so what am I expecting to have happen? How am I managing my physiology, my health in the moment and on an ongoing basis? And how am I doing that process of moving from, you know, oh, fuck, to okay in a hurry, right?
What is the way that, I mean, people that are listening, and by the way, I've got a few people commenting here, so let me give them some credit. We have Allison. She says, "Hi, John. Super excited to have you on the show."
Hi, Allison. Thanks for
having me. And I've got Chris coming to us from the UK. He says, "Cool late night show for us."
It is a late night show.
It's midnight, 12:30. What are you doing up this late, Chris?
I told you need to get your sleep.
Exactly. All right. Just sleep in tomorrow. Tell the boss you have my permission. That's funny. But no, what in terms of how to, you talked about the five steps, how to raise, you know, the OF to okay or oh yeah, how to do that quickly. The average person, if there is such a thing, does it in 2 weeks, and a more, I don't know what the word is, advanced, trained, practiced, experienced person.
All of those, really, right?
Maybe can do it quicker. Maybe
right,
from
conditioned, right?
It's so how do you get there? How do you do that? What's the strategy? Like, it sounds right.
I'm
buying in. How does someone listening say, "I want to work on this"?
Okay, so you literally work on it, and I mean, it sounds kind of simple. But what you want to do is begin to do that process and work through it, because what's going on in your brain is you're releasing your brain from fear, right? Because your brain is now here. Whatever, you are the most influential, most motivating person in the world for yourself, right? You're going to give yourself 60,000 thoughts a day. And so if your thoughts stay in the OF place, that's where you'll be. And so what you need to do is say, okay, I can be there for a moment. I can acknowledge that I wish that we weren't in quarantine, because otherwise you're just set, you're going to keep telling yourself liar, right? But if you say, yeah, I'm not really happy about that, but then let me accept, right? So, oh God, grant me the serenity, grant me peace to accept the things, to accept reality, the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And one of the things that I've always thought about this is too often people really focus on the acceptance, but not really thinking about the courage and the wisdom, right? So they're like, okay, I can't really do anything about that. I'm gonna accept that. But a lot of times you have to say, no, we have to be courageous to do that which we can do. And we have to look at it and say, am I really saying that there's nothing I can do about the situation I'm in right now? You know, oh, there's nothing we can do. There's everything we can do, right? So begin to get clear about what that outcome looks like. So you work through that. Identify what can you change, right? Get the wisdom. What can I change? What actions can I take? And again, courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is acting in the face of fear. So give me the courage to take the actions despite the fact I'm not certain about the outcome, right? And then again, mm-hmm. OGs is just really like accepting the reality, like, this is not as huge as we thought. And oh well brings us right back to, I want to accept, oh well, this is true. Goes back to James Stockdale, right? Accept the brutal facts. Never let go of the faith that you'll ultimately succeed. I'll tell you another strategy while we're sharing this that works in a similar way, but it's a little different.
Sure.
I call this the five questions. And I embraced this.
I'm taking notes, by the way. This is great. I'm going to have to rewatch my video.
Good. So anyway, the five questions it came to me through a guy named Kurt Wright. He wrote a book called Breaking the Rules quite a while ago. He was one of the early, he was a contemporary of Maslow, right? So Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But what he said is when he was studying what he called effortless high performers and wholehearted livers, right? People that dove into their life wholeheartedly without fear. And what he found is that the way that they looked at the world was different in that they asked themselves different questions. And so if we go back to the beginning, right? So regardless of what happens, so we're in this space. What I challenge everybody to do is to answer this question. What is great about what we're going through right now? And come up with a few different answers. Don't say nothing is great, right? Because there are absolutely opportunities in here and we can't move forward until we embrace what's great about this. And then think about what's the principle of this? What makes that principle great? So it's what's great about this is your first question. What makes it great is a second, right? So what's great about this is there's a lot of volatility and we're having an opportunity to revisit how we want to structure and how we strategically want to move forward to achieve the goals and objectives that we have. And so that's awesome. So why is that awesome is basically the second question, right? What's the principle behind that? The principle is that the more clear we are about what it is that we're really trying to do, and the better our strategy is developed, the more energy we have to move forward, because we're moving a lot of the blocks and barriers out of the way. And then once we're in that place grounded and now kind of feeling safe, now we get to envision what would be ideal. And this is really an exercise that everybody should be doing. What would be ideal? What does outstanding look like when this is over for you? Like, what did you learn? How did you grow? How did your team grow? What systems were improved? What processes were enhanced? Like, what does ideal look like? And then once you do that work, now you get a chance to juxtapose what ideal looks like and what you have, right? So the next question is, what's not perfect yet? And so you get to identify, okay, here's the projects I need to work on, right? This is what's not perfect yet. Here's the things that we, you know, our communication strategies may not be great. We don't have, clarity. We weren't really planning. We hadn't planned around this kind of situation. You know, so we identify what's not perfect yet. And the final question is, what resources do I have to make it so, right? So then after you identify that gap, now you're like, what resources? Intellectual capacity, you know, are there things you can learn? Are there people in your life? Like, what other resources can you tap into? And this is a great time to really be a collaborative human being, right? And to think, who else is available that maybe I can tap in and collaborate with? That's a resource. The people, your skills, your money, all of those, your effort, your attitude, those are, I can tap into a great ritual of getting my mindset in the morning, right? I mean, everybody needs to exercise, right? But we also have to exercise our minds. We have to think about, how do I position myself to have a great attitude when I wake up in the morning? Because sometimes people act as if it gets thrust upon them. Like, it's my attitude's not my responsibility. You know, I'm just really, right, I'm angry, or what, I'm an angry person, or I'm frustrated. You know, but it's accepting responsibility for our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, and having a practice in place. I'm a big believer in creating rituals, right? So create the rituals that are going to allow you to create the success that we're looking for, right? And so that might be meditation or prayer or journaling or a combination of all of them, right? What is it that you're doing in the morning so that when you get out, you're ready to rock and roll and you have the great expectation so that your belief system is attracting what you want and you're seeing the world from a frame of possibility instead of a frame of fear.
Love it, John. I'd love if your game, and we've been on here for a little bit. What is this? Almost 40 minutes or so, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I would love if you'd be game to talk about, you've done something rather interesting and special in your fitness, your approach to fitness.
Yeah.
You talk about Thank you. Physiology being one of the important filters for the prism. And yeah. I don't know whether that was on purpose or not, but in my mind, and because I know you, the idea of preparing yourself in the morning through rituals,
right?
You have a ritual. I follow you on Facebook.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So anyone, I'm John Garrity. You can follow me on John Garrity or Fitness Presence is my,
And I'm going to go over here and type and try to find this so that I can share it, yeah. But you keep talking.
Sure. So Fitness Presence is an approach that I created. And I mentioned early on that I started in the exercise field. Actually, when I was in college, I had the great fortune of working for one of the top health clubs in the country under the tutelage of a guy named Joe Cirilli, who is a leader in that industry, and also Arthur Jones, the inventor of high intensity exercise. So any of you that do, CrossFit or HIIT exercise or anything, that really all comes out of Arthur Jones's research and the work that he did around Nautilus. And so I began my fitness career a little differently than most as it relates to exercising with intensity to get the outcomes I needed. In other words, at a very early age, I realized you don't need to spend a lot of time to get great outcomes. But what I was able to do that was really fun, Fitness Presence is probably where you'd find that. You're going
to go to Fitness Presence. Hey, yeah, I pulled that.
There's an exercise program right there. But one of the things that I think it'd be that was interesting to me is that I realized that we could create this benefit in a very brief period of time that would work on every single aspect of fitness: strength, flexibility, cardiovascular balance, coordination, proprioception, also mental focus, creativity, all those different areas. And we could do it in as little as 10 minutes a day. without requiring any exercise equipment by understanding certain principles of exercise. That is the intensity of the exercise, full range movement, engaging every different system, engaging every different joint and muscle, and doing it in a way that activated what I call antagorizing. And antagorizing is recognizing that every movement you do, like so right here I'm moving, right? So in this movement you look at here, the muscles, the primary movers would be the muscles always pull. So you can look at primary movers are going to be the muscles in the front. They're here and they're my tricep. So if you think about moving in that direction, you have primary movers. Every time you have a primary mover, you also have antagonist muscles. And the antagonist muscles are the muscles that are fighting that. So your lats, the posterior deltoid, your biceps. And so what I've been able to do is create an exercise program that really uses your body as the gym to create the resistance. And it works on every single aspect of your fitness. And it only takes 10 minutes. And what's great about it is you don't need equipment and it's incredibly safe. I don't mean to imply that it would be impossible to injure yourself. Just you kind of almost have to try.
You're not using weights or any other extra bands or anything like that.
Really slowly. And in fact, because there's nothing there, if for some reason you were all of a sudden to feel a tweak or something like that, you can just stop because there's no momentum, right? So if you think about your more an engine, right? So force equals mass times acceleration, right? So if you pull acceleration out, you don't have a force to create an injury. And so what we're able to do is exercise all the time. And so as a 57-year-old guy, I exercise every day for in the ballpark of like 10 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes, but most of the time around 10 minutes. And I do it every day. So I started a little over 3.5 years ago doing this everyday program. And today as 57-year-old, I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my life. In really literally every single aspect of fitness. I think I'm stronger than I've ever been, better balanced, more coordinated, better cardiovascular. And it's interesting because a lot of people believe you have to spend a lot of time and you just don't. And so why I think this really matters is we're going to be here for a long time, right? Because they're learning how to keep us alive. But modern medicine isn't learning to teach us how to thrive. That's on us. And so as a 57-year-old, when I look into the future, I want to be as physically capable at 85 and 90 as I am today. And I don't know who doesn't, right? But many people are not living their lives in a way that's actually reasonable to expect that to be the outcome, right? So if you look at your outcome and you say, I want to have this particular outcome, but you say, well, is your lifestyle, are you doing things that would enable that to happen? And we can actually do it easily in as little as 10 minutes a day. So there's no reason not to do it. And so if anyone wants to learn about that, I do on my regular page, John J. Garrity, I do it right now for this kind of quarantine time. I do a little 10-minute workout every day. So you can join me and I'll teach you this stuff. And then if anyone else has interest, I'll actually give you, anyone here, just tell me you're from Ron and I'll give you full access to the program that will teach you the physiology. It'll teach you the principles and it's transformative. It really is. It's, you know, it is a passion of mine because it has been so remarkably effective for myself and a lot of my clients. And what they consistently say is that they can't believe that it's as effective because you grew up learning, oh, I got to work out for an hour, or I have to go to the gym, or I have to use this equipment, or, but you just don't. It's just not real. So anyway, I hope you guys stop by, let me know if I can help in that way, or anyway, through this time, I want to be a contributor. As I said earlier, right? Our job is to think, how do we contribute? That's the only thing I think about. I know I'm going to be rewarded in different ways. I don't pay attention to the reward. It's going to come. But if I can be a contribution to anybody in any way, just let me know. If you have questions, anything I brought up here today is interesting to you or you'd like to know more, you have some questions. As I shared, I'll give the link to Fitness Presence. I'll also send out the Prism of Perspective so you can look at that. And any other way that I can benefit to Ron and your people to follow you, I'd love to.
I love it, John. Yeah. So on the page on our website, we'll put all those links and assets and things so people can grab them, as well as the comments section. We'll certainly put any of that content that is appropriate as a comment here on this post. I am going to bring up, John, just for the audience here, your website. I know that your website is right now, you're building a new site.
Building a new site, yep.
So it is, some of the links are working right literally as of 6 o'clock tonight and some are not.
Yep.
But this is your website, correct?
That Courageous correct.
Authenticity.
Yes, yeah. Yep.
And is that the best way for people to find you or get a hold of you?
Yeah,
to go to that website?
Again, I am social media. I'm more active on Facebook than I am other sources. Just, I don't know, I'm just older and I got started that way. So you can find me at Facebook through there, Facebook on Fitness Presence, Facebook even at my name, John J. Garrity. And reach out. I'd love to connect. And again, any way that I can add value. I do what I do because I'm passionate about adding value. It brings me a lot of joy. It's what energizes me. So if I can ever add value, just know that I'm having as much fun giving it as hopefully you are receiving it.
I think that comes through loud and clear, John. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're at your office late and you could be at home. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you sticking around and doing this, and you know, my audience appreciates it as well, man. This is this content is it's needed always, but I'm going to say that it is maybe even more so right this minute when so many people are in need of some guidance and direction.
Yeah, let me just real quick. If we can all recognize that this is an amazing time to fully engage and add as much value as we can, we're going to look back on this as being one of the most remarkable gifts that we've been given, right? When everything is steady and concrete, you know, there's not as much movement, but when everything is shaking, we have an opportunity to create the world we want. And so it's important to really use this time to think about the values that you have, to think about what you care about, and think about how do you act to engage that more and bring forth a contribution toward that. And again, I think that even though there's going to be some pain in the transition, at the end, we're going to look at it and realize that we actually prevailed and that we were better for it.
And that we grew.
Yeah.
That's wise words from a wise man.
My
John,
pleasure, brother.
It's a, yeah, man, knuckles through the screen there. Thank you, sir.
6 feet.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Automation Unplugged. For a full transcript of this show and all previous shows, head over to our website at onefirefly.com/AU. There you'll find links to all transcripts, show notes, Facebook Live recordings, and resources mentioned during the show. If you enjoyed this episode and like to hear more, follow us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please follow us on social media. We are at OneFirefly LLC on all platforms. Don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Automation Unplugged as we dive deeper into technology trends and the fascinating people that make up the custom integration industry. Bye for now.